ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sport. Grandstand Cricket.
There you go.
That's it for the day.
You can hear the bales.
And that is Stumps.
This is Grandstand at Stumps.
On ABC Radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio. And the ABC Listen app.
12 months ago, we arrived here on Boxing Day and witnessed a sensational inning from Sam Constance. He rode a hip and shoulder from Virat Kohli along the way. And yet 12 months later, I think it's over-delivered. Incredible. An extraordinary day at the MCG, in which 20 wickets fell, 20 wickets, and Australia's second inning started before stumps on day one, all played in front of a record crowd of 94,199. Never before have as many people come to this famous venue to watch a day's cricket. Scott Boland, that's right, Scott Boland, four not out at stumps, opening up in Australia's second innings. The Aussies none for four in their second dig with a lead of 46. How on earth did we get there? Well, England won the toss. They decided to field first. They rock and rolled the Aussies for 152, felt pretty good about themselves at tee. An early tee was taken at the change of innings, and then England, they were all out inside 30 overs for 110. The Aussies none for four batting a second time. They had to face one over before stumps, and Scott Boland opened as the night watchman. The Aussies lead by 46 at stumps on day one. Corbin Middlemass alongside Darren Lehman and Jason Gillespie. Grandstand at stumps on ABC Sport. How do you sum that up, Buff?
Oh, shell-shocked. It's an unbelievable day. 20 wickets, Scott Boland, four not out, 197 to go to beat Dizzy. It's just been an unbelievable day. You can't picture that as how you see Donald Bradman does come to the wicket.
What a day for this man, Scott Boland. So first he did it with the ball as he ran through England yet again, 3 for 30 off his nine overs. And then he goes and puts the pads on and opens up as the night watchman in the second dig. Scott, congratulations. How do you sum up what on earth we saw today here at the G?
Crazy day, yeah. I didn't expect to be opening the batting with Travis Head at the G, but nice one to tick off, I guess.
Well, they always say about, kids dream of playing on Boxing Day. Was this ever end of your consciousness at any stage thinking, I'm going to go out and open the batting on Boxing Day?
No, when I was running off, I knew I was opening the batting. I thought, oh, geez, I couldn't get a king pair all in the same day, could I?
But, mate, the wicket, let's talk about the wicket. It obviously had a fair bit in it day one.
Yeah, it did. I think probably the weather we've had the last 3 days has been 17 degrees. It's not really good for cricket wickets, as you'd know, Boof. But I think being sent in, obviously we want more than 150, but we sort of fell over a little bit towards the end. But I think the way we started with the ball was spot on. I think we pitched it up. We got the ball in the area. Brook tried to take us on, and we set some different fields. It sometimes feels chaotic when he's batting, because he can hit to... He tries to put the pressure so much on you that you sort of... Sometimes you lose what you're trying to do. But now, four games into the series, we're sort of pretty clear on how we want to bowl when guys are going like that.
Yeah, it looks like it. Your plans are perfect. You're almost inside his head. He just wants to try something different to take you out of that comfort zone. So all the bowlers are just saying, right, that's what we're doing. Steve Smith or Paddy Cummins say we'll have a deep mid-off or a deep cover.
Yeah, I think we sort of worked out maybe second innings from Perth that deep mid-off and deep points sort of keep him a little bit stiller. And then when the wicket's a little bit flatter, there's not as much bounce. We can get Kez up to the stumps. His hands are amazing up there. So I even feel like when we're bowling 7 or 8 metres and trying to hit his belly button, Kez is going to catch it. So we've got full trust in him.
Does it feel like a 20-wicket day to you from looking at that service to us from up in the commentary box? It looks decent. Looks like there was some seam movement, but it didn't feel like a 20-wicket day.
I know, we haven't seen 20 wickets too often here. we played Shield games years ago. We didn't get 20 wickets for the whole 4 days. So it's a nice change to that.
The thing for me, I'm a little bit different. It has been a bowler, but I see it go up. It went up a little bit today. Is it indentations in the pitch?
No, it looks really good. That's the one thing I went to look at lunch to see if there was any divots. There may be the odd sort of grassy divot, not like a full indentation of the pitch. So I think when you see those indentations in the pitch, you know it's going to get harder to bat as the game goes on, but there's not really too many of them.
Was it too paced?
I only faced seven balls. But
magnificent seven balls, yeah. By the way.
Have you ever had a reception like that? I know you took 6 for 7 here one day, but felt like it was even more raucous tonight.
Oh, yeah. Like, as I said before, me and Heddy were walking at the race, and he's like, how good's this? Opening the batting his best mates at the G, so pretty special.
And get down tomorrow morning. Get here early and say, Smithy, Marnus, I'm opening. I want throwdowns from different for an hour.
You get first use of the
net. I'll be too tight doing that.
Scott, we'll let you get out of the cold. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, well done, mate.
Thanks, Scotty.
Scott Boland, who avoided a King Fair after being the last man out in Australia's first innings. He's now not out 4 at stumps in the second dig on what was an extraordinary day here at the G. Australia none for 4 in their second dig. They lead the test by 46.
That wicket is perfect for someone like Scott Boland because Dizzy's right. It wasn't as bad as 150 and 120, whatever it is, 110. But I'll tell you what it was, it went up as well. So when it goes all way, so it seems you don't mind seam and swing, but when you start going up a little bit and a bit of pace climbs, that's when it's difficult for batters. So I'll give them a little bit of credit there, but it certainly wasn't the score. Should have been 20 wickets, but both sides selected well. We talked about that before, Corbin. Both sides got it right. No spinner. That's not as good. Perth was a better wicket than that. Perth should have been bigger scores. It wasn't. But that did a bit too much, I felt, from what I saw.
Look, there was excessive seam movement, but I still maintain I don't think it's a 20 wicket in a day surface.
Agree.
Because, it just looks to me the modern players in this series, as soon as they see any movement off the surface or through the air, it's almost panic stations. Right, we've got to, like, hit or get out. Like, and I don't know, they just don't trust themselves to get through tough periods.
When Australia 3-0 up, it looked like they were saying, right, you know, we're just going to cruise here. It's going to seem, let's go. And when they get bowled out, I reckon they clicked in the gear and said, actually, look, we don't deserve to go 3-1.
Yeah,
let's bowl them out. And the bowling was high class from Nessa, Richardson, obviously the boys, Boland, etc. Stark, those early wickets. Stark keeps getting early wickets. Starting to get into that Mitchell Johnson realm of 5 test matches dominating a series. He didn't get any runs today, but what he did do is get early wickets. And that's what they've done consistently. England, I said they got the side right in terms of no spinner. Where they missed, I think they should have played Potts.
Ahead of Cass.
Yes.
Yep. Agreed.
Yes. And people will disagree on this on our app and listening to us because he's got the most wickets for him in this series. But he's going at 6 and over. And even the first few overs this morning, he got it wrong. And when they did get it right, and Stokes bowled and Tung bowled, they bowled Fuller, made us drive, and all of a sudden we're in trouble.
That's where Australia looked vulnerable, with that Fuller delivery. Yes, they get a couple of drives away, and that's fine. But as a bowler, if they go drive, 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 they hit 12 runs, and then you nick them off, you're 1 for 12. So it's a win for the bowling side. Make them go it forward and try and drive.
That's good math from you, Diz.
Oh, thanks.
4-4-4.
Oh, thanks, Wolf.
The pitch, we'll get back to the pitch here. And there's so many different offshoot conversations that we can have on the back of it. Just repeating the stump score. Australia none for 4. They lead the test by 46 runs. That's in their second innings. England all out 110. Australia earlier today all out 152. It's a fascinating watch in modern cricket where the ball's really never dominated the bat more. Certainly in the last 50 years, if you look at it as a sample size. And yet we have pitches here that clearly offer a fair bit for seam bowlers. We saw a pitch over in Perth that had good pace and bounce and carry, and batsmen found it difficult. And then we've come here to the MCG and we got a pitch that has 10 mil of grass on it. I mean, if you look back to the history of the game, we once played on uncovered wickets and all the rest of the challenges that happened. Is it time that we just say, hey, techniques aren't what they once were? We can't be having two-day test matches all over the place. That we need to not give the batsmen more of an advantage, but certainly not make it any harder for them.
I think we need to make surfaces a bit more even. I think 10 mils of grass is a lot. I don't know about Boof, but I don't remember many surfaces that played test cricket on that had 10 mils of grass. I don't know about you, Boof. I can't remember.
No.
I count on one hand.
The wickets were flatter and they went 5 days. And even the last previous few Ashes series, I remember, Gabba was the good cricket wickets, like Adelaide last week. That went 5 days. We got a great result.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit different. You don't see other things in the game. No reverse swing. There's lots of things that don't happen anymore. The wickets in India spin from day one, not day three.
Yeah.
So they're quickening up everything these days.
Why is that?
Because I think T20's had to play its part in that because blokes haven't got any patience. And this is an analogy of test match cricket and how it should be played as a test of skill, physically, mentally, etc., is perfect. And that's what it's about. But now they're trying to quicken up the game.
Wolf, do you reckon there's more pressure on curators from home teams to create surfaces that suit the home team?
I think, yes, I do.
Because you see it in county cricket.
But I tell you what you do see, and this is one that, you know, when I was, I remember when I was coaching Australia, the wickets were quite flat. Mm. And I was going, well, I wouldn't mind a bit of pace in them. Mm. But they didn't get, administrators wanted 5 days of entertainment for 96,000 people or 90, that's what it was. And then they probably got too flat. They probably did get too flat, I reckon. So they tried to bring in some other things that make them a little bit more spicy. So they've got to get the right mix.
So is there an element here that if we were to prepare, you know, a flat feather bed, that would actually play into England's hands? They have similar pitches back home. I think all five test matches against India went 5 days in the most recent series over there, but they didn't have any trouble getting results. I mean, the series was tied, but it was tied 2-2. It wasn't tied, you know, 1-1 and 3 draws.
Yeah, they score quickly. That opens up the game, England. The grounds are bigger here, so they can't just slap it over backward square for six. Now they get caught. So the grounds have a big part to play, and that's where England have sort of miscalculated. Yeah, we can take it on, we can play, but
they've essentially been one-trick ponies playing on those small grounds with, you know, benign surface. Yeah, you can go out and be aggressive with that. That's fine. And get away with it. As Buff said, you can get away with it over the boundary because they're very short boundaries. Can't get away with the MCG. Yeah.
Well, as someone said, Trent Bridge fits in twice to
MCG.
But short, small grounds.
But they also don't have an issue getting 20 wickets. Like, I think in McCullum's 45 games, they've had 2 draws or something. And yep, rain affected in Manchester.
But they bowl first every time.
Yep.
They don't bat. In fact, they batted a couple of times when we thought they were going to bowl the series. Right. And really, looking back now, they probably should just say, we're going to stick with our theory of bowling first.
I
was just saying, I think Ben Stokes has won the toss and bowled more than any other England captain.
Yeah.
So, which is a telling stat for me.
I just wonder in the long term where, you know, we get to the end of the series, for example, and there's so many different offshoot conversations, and we'll touch on a few of those in a moment, but I think about, you know, is this actually good for Test cricket? I mean, it's an absorbing day. You can't take your eyes off it. But you think, if we're going to have 2 out of the 4 Test matches over in 2 days, as a sport that really is thriving, certainly in this country in 2025, but part of its appeal is its longevity and the fact that it goes over multiple days. It just becomes another version of T20 cricket.
Yeah, well,
sped up over 2 days and 2 innings.
My argument is, it going to thrive over the long term? Because when you lose it, I imagine, I'd hate to see the numbers for missing out. Say it's a 2-day test match.
Yep.
They would lose a lot of money. I mean, we're talking 90,000 on day one. There'll be probably 80 tomorrow. There might be 70 the next day, 60, so forth and so forth. And last year against India, we had an unbelievable crowd. So, I think they've got to find the right balance. I'm happy with 4-day cricket. I'm happy with 4 days. I think that's about right. Last week in Adelaide, we got treated to a 5-day game, which went, till tea time on day 5. And that was Adelaide. Most other grounds, you go 4 days is acceptable, I think, this.
Yep, absolutely. The way England look to play, it's like a sugar hit, isn't it? It's a one-trick pony set up. For me, I think it's also the definition of entertainment. Okay, so England come out and say, we've got to save Test cricket. Well, I'm not convinced Test cricket needed saving, but we've got to play entertaining cricket.
Yeah.
I think it's a definition. Their definition of entertaining is just going out and whacking it, right? But I reckon the most unentertaining bowling lineup going around, because they're very defensive, right? My definition of entertainment is a good contest between bat and ball, and it goes deep into a game. And I've been entertained a lot in Test cricket with thrilling draws where the teams are saving a game and the like. So I think it's the very definition of what entertainment is. And I think if you ask the 90-odd thousand people in this stadium today, yes, there's entertainment, but I reckon there's a tinge of disappointment as well.
I agree. 94,199 a record attendance. Todd Greenberg joined me during the lunch break today on Grandstand at lunch. And already at that stage, it was 4 for 72. And we were thinking, what are the ramifications of this, about the fact that if we have another 2 or 3 day test, and this is what he had to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't shy away from the fact it would impact the bottom line significantly. I mean, the reality is for the MCG, we're sold out days one, days two and days three. That's never happened before on the scale of a stadium this big. So that's looking at hoping to get close to 90 plus every day. There's some variables about how many of the MCC members turn up, and we have to take seats out for sight screens in case someone's wondering why we don't get to 100. So there's, you know, some big numbers in there. Day four ticket sales is probably the variable. And if the game is in the balance or still going, I think you'll see a lot more people buy tickets in a day four. But currently, I think people are waiting to see the results and the outcome of the game. Is there slightly too many wickets in the first session? If you look through a commercial lens from my end, absolutely. But hopefully Uzi and Alex can knuckle down in this session and see us through.
But it does swing dramatically. Like even if you lose one day, it's all of a sudden the profit margins significantly change.
Yeah, and I should also point out at this point in time of the conversation, it's not just about me. It's not just about our balance sheet. It's also about our two broadcasters like yourselves and others who all pay for rights. They're buying rights over a period of time, so as are our partners. So there's lots of impacts on short test matches. Now, you know, the first one in Perth, it was 104 years since we had a two-day test match against England in this country. So I am hoping that it's 104 more years before someone else has to deal with it as well.
So there was Todd Greenberg speaking about the financial impact of a potentially another two-day test or even a three-day test with the first 3 days sold out. I'm sure Cricket Australia right now would be thinking, look, let's just get to three. That'll be a good start, and if we miss out on four, we miss out on four.
I'm surprised Todd's not out there mowing the grass off and rolling the wicket himself.
Instructed the curator to roll it all night.
And both teams are going, let's start again. Okay, we'll just pick up the second innings, but we're going to get rid of the grass and we're going to roll a little bit.
I tell you what, I spoke to Todd Greenberg as well as part of that extended chat about the BBL privatisation. I said, look, is this an if or is this absolute certainty? And we're just trying to work out how we carve up the money. I tell you what, the sale of the BBL teams, the price of that will be coming in terms of the likelihood that they will sell those teams. I mean, if they miss out on a lot of money on a summer and a year where the Ashes are in town, plus you've got white ball games against India, this is meant to be the summer where you make bank. So essentially going forward, when you play teams like Pakistan and Sri Lanka and New Zealand next summer, you've already got money in the kitty that basically is pushed out over a four-year cycle. So, I think the likelihood of the sale of the BBL teams will go up if the money isn't quite coming in this summer.
Yeah, this might differ with me here. I've seen it in England with 100. They've sold. And all the minor counties or the smaller counties as such, they've all got a big piece of the pie of that sale. And they can now run their programs in the community, et cetera, keep the game flowing for years and years to come. So we've got to remember, we're here to grow the game, and grassroots is so big. So if this money is going to come into the game, and we're talking millions and millions of dollars, I don't see why we shouldn't take it. Because as long as it filters down, not to the top end, I'm talking the bottom end, where all our junior boys and girls are playing the game, and it filters down and it makes it cheaper to play cricket, better facilities, etc., change rooms, whatever it may be, then I think it's a win-win. Make sure it does that, though.
And about to say, just making sure exactly where the money goes, because you only get to sell it once.
That's exactly right. That's what I was about to say. Once you lose control, you don't get it back.
It's funny that ECB have great control of the money they give the counties. They've kept the money in a pot where the counties get a interest payment every year, but they can only get the money out for development of the game or facilities, etc.
So, have you seen any of that filter into Northamptonshire at the moment?
No. They're working through that.
Right. But
they're trying to. Oh, actually, I have, because they've actually given the groundsman new rollers. You know, things. There's new females facilities at the ground. So
brilliant.
They are spending the money.
That's good.
Quick takes before we get out of here on the day overall. So England winning the toss, selecting the field. Team news that came through as expected for England: Atkinson and Bethell come in for Archer and Pope. Meanwhile, for Australia, Jai Richardson got the call up, along with Michael Nisa and Steve Smith, obviously returning as we knew. So no Cummins, no Lyon, no Inglis. The changes from Adelaide, it means that Doggett misses out, so no Brendan Doggett in the Australian 11. So the Aussies batting, they were 1 for 27 when Travis Head was the first man out. They were soon 4 for 51. By lunch, it was 4 for 72, and then they were all out for 152. So a couple of key names to focus on here. Now, Josh Tung in particular, so hats off to him. Career best figures, 5 for 45 in 11.2 overs, including a couple of maidens. He's played against Steve Smith 5 times in professional cricket. He's got him out on all 5 innings in which he's bowled to the Australian skipper, and he got him again here. So that was particularly noteworthy. What did he do well, Diz?
Yeah, well, he bowls from a slightly awkward angle, an unusual angle. But I think it's the length he bowled. And something that I've been harping on about, Corb, you're probably sick of me talking about it, but they got their length right. And in particular, Josh Tung. I mean, he bowled Steve Smith. He nicked off Marnus. He got wickets to fuller deliveries. So, you know, for me, it's very simple. He bowled good, the right line and the right length. And with his angle, his natural angle, because he's not perfect from a technical point of view, biomechanical point of view, but he has a point of difference because he's past the perpendicular, so he angles in from outside off stump. So he creates a bit of indecision around the off stump decision making for batsmen. So, look, I think he was very good.
The batting from an Australian point of view, Boof, just a couple of names to focus on. So Cam Green, 17, he was run out in what was a mix-up with Michael Nisa, dropped it on the offside, took off, hesitated, then kept going. Nisa called him through. Cast picks up the ball, throws down the stumps at the non-striker's end. So an opportunity missed for Cam Green with plenty of time to bat out for 17. And another name which is worth highlighting is Jake Weatherald, who had that nice score up in Brisbane. He was given out LBW when he wasn't in the second innings in Adelaide, didn't review it, and then he's out for 10 here, sort of strangled down the leg side trying to turn one off his pads, and the keeper Smith took the catch off the bowling of Tung. What did you make of those two guys who were seemingly in the hot seat as such in the Australian batting lineup?
Well, Weatherall opened the batting in tough conditions and actually got through and then tickled one down the leg side. Yeah. So that can happen. So let's see how it goes second innings. But he'll need a score. I mean, he played really well for that 70 and got, 20 not out in the second innings. So, yeah, he'll get the series and they'll reassess from there. Yep. But I see he'll get a chance going forward. Green looked good today. I thought it looked good, even though he got 17 and he ran himself out. That's just silly, you know. You don't have to run to a bowler who's quite athletic. He's going to pick it up and throw the stumps down. I mean, every run's important. But
and he was off the back. He was on the back foot too.
And you don't run yourself out. No. You know, that's one of the cardinal sins. So for me, I thought he looked good, but he'll need to get some runs. I mean, they've invested so much time. We do harp on it because I suppose it's just the media, how we got to dissect things. You look at Steve Waugh, he didn't make 100 till, 30 test innings?
Yeah.
You know, Green's made a couple away from home and he's played a lot. His average is less than home than away, which is a good thing. If he gets it right at home, he's going to be a decent player. He bowls enough overs. He's had the back injury. I think he's going to be an important player. I do like him down at 7, actually. Mm. I don't mind Kerry at 6.
It was England's worst start with a bat in the series. So already 3-0 down and the Ashes have been retained by the Aussies and England were 3-for-8 in the fifth over. Mitchell Stark struck twice and Michael Nisa once and then it was all over pretty quickly, Dizzy, inside 30 overs. Nisa 4-for-45. So after top scoring with the bat with 35, playing his first red ball test match, he had himself a day. Scott Boland picked up 3-for-30. Stark 2 wickets and Cam Green mopped up the last. But what a dominant performance by the Aussies. They use the conditions to their advantage.
Just seems the Aussie bowlers are doing everything. Now we've got Scotty Bowen doing the batting as well. So, but look, I think full credit to them. We saw on the TV graphics, Michael Nisa again, just hitting that shoebox on a length time and time and time again. It's not rocket science. He was excellent. Scotty Bowen, we know he does that. He's absolutely brilliant. There was, as Boof said, there was just enough in the surface to just create that indecision from the England batters, and then they panicked and they don't trust their techniques, and then they just think they'll try and slog and get out of it.
Top scorer in the Test match, Boof, is Harry Brook with 41 at better than a runner ball off 34. Does that reinforce that this isn't a tremendous cricket wicket, or does it reinforce that techniques ain't what they used to be?
Well, I said it on air, they're living rent-free in Harry Brook's head. He has no whether he's going to Arthur or Martha and just go for it or block or what. They put the field back and he goes, what do I do now? I mean, he's a miles better player than that. Yeah. I mean, he should just be batting normally because he'll score quick enough anyway. There is one with your name on it, though. That's what it feels like. So you try to take some initiative, not first ball. I mean, first of all, have a look. They've got the field out. I'm thinking, I'll get off the mark, knock it around the corner for one. He's trying to hit over cover for 6. I mean, that's amazing. Yeah.
We'll be on air tomorrow from 10 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. The first ball from 10:30, and who knows? Could be the last day of the Test match. Could be day two. Could be.
We'll get to day three. More importantly, is it going to be warmer?
Not by a whole lot, I don't think. The warm weather doesn't come till day four, and by then we might no longer be here at the MCG. A record crowd. It'll be one we'll talk about for years to come. 20 wickets falling, and the Australian second innings starting late on the opening day. 94,199 in to see it. We've never had a record crowd quite like that. We've got a BBL to come, so if you want more cricket on your radio, you're in the right place right here on ABC Sport. The Sixers and the Stars already underway, so you can find that through the ABC Listen app and on ABC Sport Digital. And then later tonight, it'll be the Scorchers up against the defending champions, the Hobart Hurricanes. On behalf of Darren Lehman, Jason Gillespie, my name's Corbin Middlemass, and our entire crew, of course, here on Grandstand Cricket, signing off from the MCG, the Aussies to resume on day two, none for four, leading the Test match by 46 in their second day.
One of the biggest rivalries in sport is underway.
Welcome to the Ashes, folks.
But don't worry, there's still plenty more to come with ABC Sport. The BBL continues every night.
Stumps everywhere!
We'll serve up the Grand Slam tennis at the Australian Open from January 18.
Drew Bully puts it away!
Are you not entertained, Rod Laver Arena?
Australia and India in women's white ball and Test match cricket. the men's T20 World Cup, plus the women's Asian Cup.
What a strike! What a goal from Sam Kerr!
And that's all before the footy takes centre stage once again. ABC Sport, on radio, on digital, and on the ABC Listen app.